Matt, do you think that your race bike can beat this thing? Probably can, eh? I think we're here on it. We've got an up-and-coming racer in our midst. We're just excited to share Matthew's joy, being given a sponsorship to participate in a development racing series. So we're very, very excited about that. And for the Rees family, it's you know, you can see it as, ach man, daar gaan speel hulle met hulle motorfietsen vir niet. It's dangerous and it's die and it's die. Most people die in a bed. Or you can see it as an opportunity and a platform of influence that God has afforded the family to touch people's lives with the life and love of Jesus. That's how I see it. Isn't that so, hey, Matt? What he says, yeah. Also, Isabella and Gabriel, are they here today? Were they? Wow. It's just an honor and privilege for us to welcome Alvin and Nadine, Bernadine and their family here for the first time with Gabriel and Isabella. An absolute miracle that God has done in the lives of those little bodies as well as Bernadine's body. Thank you for your faithful prayers and intercessions and all the ways in which you guys have supported financially. We made an appeal for funds to be brought in for meds and stuff like that. And it's just amazing to see how the body of Christ has come together. When the body's the body, when Christ sees arise, the body is the body. And we get to see the body work in a way God always intended it to work. Amen. Can you see it? Can you see it? Those of you that were here last week, can you see it? Those of you that were not here last week, can you see it? I say, let me just say yes, because everybody's saying yes. It might be the right thing to do. We started a sermon series called Can You See It? And we launched our building program vision last week about a new place of worship, because God is in the process of giving us a new place of worship. For many years, we've outgrown this church building. We had small place across the road. We outgrew that. We got the place next door. God outgrew that. We got this one. And we've been living over each other and under each other's feet for the longest time, and it is time to move on. But this week, we're going to focus on, can you see it? But not a physical building, but rather the spiritual building that we spoke about last week. Because buildings are cool, and it's nice to have an awesome place to worship where we got a youth hall. Where we've got a youth hall. And we've got prayer rooms and classrooms and war rooms and all sorts of stuff, and it's great. But even more important than that is this. This temple, the body of Jesus Christ, His people, sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's what we're going to focus on this week. To recap, the scripture that we looked at last week is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. I'm going to go through it quickly. This is just a recap. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full expression of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness. You're coming to Christ, who's the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by men, but He was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. And what's more, you are His holy priests. Jy's nie net 'n moegoe nie. Jy's nie net iemand se bra. As an ambassador of the kingdom of God, you're God's holy priest. Gentlemen, did you get that? Men, you're God's holy priests. Veronderstel om te wees, as jy jouself as 'n gelowige Christen aanskou. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. God Almighty, we thank you for the blessing and privilege of your written word. But it will only stay written unless you, Holy Spirit, speak it into our hearts today. Holy Spirit, move beyond the limitations of my speech and my voice and give to every precious soul this morning exactly what we need to hear from the heart of God, not from a pastor. And thank you that you're watching over your word to perform it and will achieve the purposes for which you send it forth. That means your kingdom come and your will be done in our hearts and our lives, and that our minds will be changed and be renewed through the washing and rejuvenation of this word this morning. I thank you, God, that when we leave, we will be more in love with Jesus than before we came, and we will be on fire for the Messiah and know you more because of our time spent around the table that you've prepared before us and for us in the presence of our enemy. And the sons and daughters of the Most High God said, amen and amen. The scripture that we want to look at this morning is a passage from chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians and the first 3 verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, and we're going to highlight 7 points from there very, very briefly and very quickly this morning. And it reads as follows, therefore I, this is the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, I'm adding Paul, a prisoner for serving the Lord, hulle het hom toegesluit, want hy het sy bek gerek vir Jesus. When last have you been locked up for sharing the gospel? Dit kom, very quickly. Maybe you don't share the gospel at all. Maybe not enough of Jesus is in you to get them to suspect that you're a Christian culprit. I'm just saying. No, this for mense in ander kerke. It's very quiet now. Hey. Mozzie, stay focused. Prisoner for serving the Lord. He says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort, there's that word again, coming out in recent sermons. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. 7 points we're going to highlight from that passage. Number 1, worthy of your calling. Are we living a life with the understanding that as Christians, we're representing heaven? Think about that. If you call yourself a Christian, you're representing heaven, not Bikers Church, or CMA, or Himmelbestormer, or whatever. If you're a Christian, to an unsaved person, you're representing heaven. You're also representing not one of many living gods, the only living God. Did you get that? You're representing the only God, the only system of faith where the God laid down his life for his believers. The only one. That's one of the many things that makes Christianity unique. That's what you're representing. Worthy of the calling. So my brother, my sister, your life right now, how accurately are you representing heaven? How accurately are you representing this living God? God. Are you an undercover secret agent, dark ops Christian? After Sunday, he's undercover. Niemand sal kan sê jy's 'n gelowige nie. Because you don't act like it, you don't speak like it, you don't think like it, you just, and on Sundays, pop jy uit. Doodoo, hallelujah, hier's ons ek weer, like a periscope. Or do people know because they know because they know there's something different about you, sir, because you've got the living God living inside you. And does your walk match your talk? Of is jy 'n ja-broer? Is the fruit evident in your life? So the question is, are we living a life worthy of that calling? Now here's the deal. Not only called as an individual, because we've all been called. Moenie net dink dis die groot bekker soos myself met die mikrofone. That's fivefold responsibility. That's next level stuff. You're all called to represent heaven. But we're also called corporately as a body. Young dudes, you're called to represent Jesus. If you say that you serve the mom and God, you don't serve mom and God. Well, maybe mom gets you to serve by cleaning the kitchen and doing your chores and tidying your room. But if you serve the God that mom and dad serve, you say you're a Christian, you've got to represent Christian in the schools. You've got to represent Jesus. Think like Jesus, act like Jesus, be like Jesus. Imagine what it was like for Jesus being a lighty. Do you think he never did his homework? You think he gave the teachers back chat? You think he bunked school? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he listened to his parents. In fact, I know he did. The Bible says that he submitted himself to his parents' leadership, even though he was God himself. There was a time and a place where he had to listen to mom and dad, because mom and dad were representing God in his life. And youngsters, mom and dad should be representing God in your life. And if they're not, you come see me. Axolala fasfat. Are we cool? So, worthy of the calling as the body of Christ. This church, does it accurately represent Jesus? Or are we a bunch of happy-clappy Jesus freaks with rules and regulations that chase people away? Or do we welcome them with the love of Jesus Christ? When they come to this place, what do they encounter? Godsdienstigheid? Or love? When they look in people's eyes, what do they see? The chicks checking each other out. That dress doesn't suit your hair color, girl. You need to get a mani-pedi. Ladies? Men? When you see someone come here and you know he's going through the same challenges as you do, do you reach out a helping hand to grab the brother and uplift him and support him? Of is the question van kry vir jou, ou? Ek het my eie issues. Dan stap jy maar verder. What do they experience here? Are we living worthy of the calling that God has placed on our lives? Is it reflected in a daily basis in our lives? Point number two, called by God. Understand that we're called by God individually and corporately. That's some of 2 points in one go. Point number three, humble and gentle. I battle with this. I confess to you today that I'm a work of grace in progress, and I battle with humility and gentleness. Ek wil bestorm en whew. I'm a small man, but I fear nothing and no one but the living God. And sometimes that counts against me. You see, my bravery exceeds my skill level, and my ego exceeds them both. And I've got the scars and the x-rays to prove it, and the titanium parts in my body. So to be humble, it's like, I need Jesus, Yella. I need Jesus. And here's the deal. How many of you know that David was a mighty man of war? Guys that are into Skopskit and movies, you like the hero of the movie, eh? Because he's like, he can do stuff. There's never been a man like David, and there probably never will be one like him. Because listen to this, gentlemen. The Bible teaches us that God taught his fingers how to kill people. His hands were anointed for war. Keanu Reeves in John Wick killed, I don't know how many O's with a pencil. Anybody can relate to what I'm saying? Please help me. David was next level stuff. That's how anointed this oak was, to kill people. Imagine having that kind of anointing, gents. I could do with some of that. There's some people I want to take out. Like, seriously. But, listen to this. Psalm 18 and verse 35. He writes, "You've also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great." That word gentleness there speaks about the humility of God in David. The humility of God. It wasn't his ability to wage war as God's general and be a mighty roar. It was his humility in Christ, David realized that without God, I'm a mess. Without God, I'm nothing. Without God, I'm an adulterous, conniving, stuck-up little so-and-so who organizes the death of his best friends so that he can have their wives. That's David. And he realized, I need God. So can you see us as believers that have this kind of humility and gentleness? Psalm 37 and verse 11, it says, "But the meek," everybody say meek. The world confuses that with weak. There's a huge difference. They're diametrically opposed to each other, weak versus meek. What is meek? "The meek shall inherit the earth." And I thought of that, wow. Especially what's going on in the world right now with Mr. Putin pressing buttons and taking people out in Ukraine. It's like, you play warfare from behind a computer and you don't even press the buttons. You get people to do it for you. And you think you have this military might. You've got jackboot. You're not going to take over the world with atomic power or any kind of electromagnetic pulse. You know who's going to inherit the earth? the meek, the meek, the gentle, the humble. They are going to inherit the earth. You don't believe me? Check what the Bible says. The Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That word meekness there means being humble. In God's gentleness, David was great. And in God's humility, David had to humble himself before God. So how are you doing on the front of humility and gentleness, this morning, gentlemen? Point number four, patient, making allowance for each other's faults. You see, when I'm in the traffic, I have this opinion. And you know what an opinion is, right? Who does not know what an opinion is? Please raise your hand. I want to explain to you quickly. Everybody in this church knows what an opinion is. So in my opinion, everybody that overtakes me in the traffic is a maniac. Everybody in front of me is a slow coach. I'm the only one that's driving and riding perfectly. In my opinion. That's just my opinion. See? And when it comes to the traffic, that's the most effective way in my life, and I don't know about you guys, that God develops patience in my life. Because I've come to understand, no, Mozzie, they're not an idiot. You don't have to baptize them with a new name that their parents never gave them. God challenged my heart to say, son, what would happen, and I've shared this before, so deal with it. What would happen if you see them as lost sheep without a shepherd, instead of muchus behind steering wheels? Lost sheep without a shepherd. They're going through something that you know nothing about, kid. So grow up. That's my conviction. So when I'm going through the traffic and people do things, they're going through something that I know nothing about. They're carrying a heavy, heavy cross that I know nothing about. And then I come there with my arrogance and my impatience, saying, you read between the lines. Where? Really? It's so easy for me to be pious up here. Patient, loving man of God. But when the pressure's on and life happens, what comes out of me then? Because if my walk doesn't match my talk, I'm just a clanging cymbal and a sounding brass. How are you doing this morning with patience? Making allowance for other people's faults. So hy kom kerk toe, dis wonderlik. Jy gaan deur 'n honeymoon periode. Alles is lekker. Tot die dag wanneer dit nie meer lekker is nie. And some blessed brother and some blessed sister does something that jou omkrap, wat skrik vir niks. Dan wil jy, my season at this church is over. It's time to move on. Hallelujah. Jy praat nonsense, man. You just don't want to grow up. Deal with it. Learn to love each other. Be patient with each other. Make provision for each other's faults. Because guess what? You're just as faulty and messed up as the brother or the sister next to you. Maybe that's news to you. You're just as messed up. And I want to say this in love. My wife and I had this conversation this morning when we had some intense fellowship. That's what I love about a relationship. There's passion. Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, there's passion. Good passion, bad. I'd rather have like fiery flames than... And I said to her, you're not okay, and that's okay. I'm not okay, and that's okay. Is that okay? Let's move on. Point number five, make every effort. Also something that came out in a sermon recently. Make every effort. This also means fighting with all your might. Fighting with all your might. In other words, doing whatever it takes to protect the unity and the peace amongst us. Doing whatever it takes to protect the unity and the peace amongst us. I'll give an example. So Div and I bump heads with something. And it's between him and I. But I'm like a muff, man. Because he let me down. Huh? Div let me down for something, you know. And then one day John and I are standing a flacey or standing around a bike. We're chatting. And say, stuff comes up and he happens to know Div as well. And I say, yeah, that Div, you know. You know what he did to me? And I start, I do it spiritually. I say, ek wil net iets met jou deel aangaande Div. And then I slate Div in John's ear. What have I done? Deliberately and willfully broken the unity and the bond of peace in this body by beskinnering my brother. If you're guilty of that, don't raise your hand now. See, can you see how easy it is? Or do I fight for the protection of the peace and the unity in this body? When somebody wants to come and whisper sweet nothings in my ear about you and you not there, I say, hold on. Hang on a second. Do I need to hear this right now? Because these aren't dustbins for your twack talk. These are supposed to be hearing what the Spirit of God says. Okay, not these, but your spirit. You get what I'm saying, church? Help me, man. Somebody say, I hear you, Moz. So how do you know if it's gossip? Three quick questions. If the answer to any one of these is no, it's gossip. And you know, gossip and discord falls in the list in Proverbs chapter 6 of the things that God hates most. You don't see murder there. You don't see adultery. You don't see blasphemy of the Spirit. You see this, gossip and discord. You see this. So if the answer to any one of these questions is no, my brother, my sister, you're a gossip. If you want to capture someone's attention, whisper. Remember that advert? It was for perfume years ago, isn't it? If you want to capture someone's attention, whisper. And it was about nuance, or was it the whisper chocolates? I don't know. I forget. Or was Gesape in those days? I don't know. Here's the answers. Here's the questions quickly. Is the person there to defend themselves? No. Gossip. Is it going to place them in a better light in the hearer's eyes? No, gossip. Is your sharing that information going to improve the situation or get them to change their heart? No, gossip. Easy, isn't it? Okay, let me try that. Easy, isn't it? I haven't even been going for 22 minutes, almost. Make every effort to protect this peace. It happens netsua. Netsua. I've had men come to me and look me in the eye with tears running down their face and say, Mori, Mozzie. Yeah, whatever. Hey, you, I've spoken behind your back, and I'm sorry. You know what? I'd rather have that. A man look me in the eye and tell me, ek het droog gemaak, then be skynheilig behind me. Oh, bless you, Mozzie. We love you, Mozzie. And then you go and slate me behind my back. I see, toch. Really? Straight talk makes me, just be, tell me straight to my face, you're a moocher. I don't like you because of this. I'll appreciate that. Be candid and frank with each other. Okay. Hallelujah. Can you feel the love in the house this morning? This means fighting for this. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, the B part says, fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Gentlemen and ladies, men and women of God, this unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, it's not something that happens naturally in a church. You think because we all love Jesus, we're just going to get along all the time? It's going to take effort. In other words, die ding fun, you fall in love and you fall out of love. It's Hollywood lies. You choose on a daily basis to make a decision to love or to hate. I choose to love you regardless of your pluya and your warts and your stink awesome. I choose to love you because you refuse to listen. I choose to, regardless, I've got to choose to love you and make allowance and provision for your faults and mistakes because I'm a flawed vessel just like you. That's what it means to make every effort to protect the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace amongst us. And not only is it because of us and our own issues, there's somebody called Satan, the devil. There's somebody called Satan that when a body starts growing together in unity and there's peace, he does everything to rip it apart. And who does he use? The very people in the body. Any man or woman that's willing to just be used of the devil just a little bit, God will use you. Why? Because then he's got an the devil will use you because he's got an insider to mess things up from the inside out. Therefore, we need to be watchful and prayerful to nurture the relationships that we have with each other, to protect the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Is that okay? All right. I need to start speaking about some points that's going to get some smiles on people's faces this morning, because this is heavy stuff. All right. Point number 6, and we've got this one and one more to go. United in the Spirit. What does it mean to be united in the Spirit? Point number 6. God showed me In sermon prep for this, he showed me this wide, broad, strong, flowing river. And it was flowing and it was lekker. It looked beautiful. The sound was great. The water was clean. It was just like a lekker river. And this is what that means. The leadership of this church and the leadership teams are one in the Spirit, going in one direction with one vision and one purpose in mind, and that is to bring the unchurched into the family of God to advance His kingdom. We're not confused. We're not wandering. That's where we are going. Look at the pictures of the wall to your right that says, meet the team. There they are. There's a team of leaders. We're all on the same page spiritually. We're going one direction as led by the Spirit of God. That's where we are, in unity of the Spirit. There's no ulterior motive. There's no hidden agenda. There's no glory boys. There's no one-hit wonders. We're together as a team so that God's kingdom come, God's will be done. There's unity in the Spirit. So church this morning, are we one in spirit as a church? That's why it's important to have one vision. Because if there's more than one vision, there is division. Any living creature with more than one head is a monster. So I say this on this point. Be very careful, ma'am, sir, whose teaching you place yourself under. Is that making sense? Be very careful whose teaching you place yourself under. Because if that person's got another vision, before long, it's going to smock them at your cup, and you're going to bring what? Moving right along. Psalm 133, 1 to 3, speaks about unity in the body. You can meditate on it on your own. Psalm 133, 1 to 3. Last point, binding together with peace. God showed me this. Binding together with peace. He showed me the interwoven individual strands of a rope that's woven together and made strong. If you look at the tiny, tiny fibers of cotton, that little cotton fiber on its own, it can't even hold a mosquito back. Try and tie a mosquito down with that strand of cotton. A mosquito can wegflick. Have you heard the joke recently? It's a video clip that's been sent around. I was, what do you call a mosquito in your country? And the answer is, we don't call it. It just comes and bites us. So the individual strands of cotton make bigger strands. And those strands get woven together and it makes a thicker strand. Then that strand gets woven together and it becomes a strong, mighty rope. We see that principle in the book of Ecclesiastes where a three-stranded cord cannot be broken. And then it went on to a steel cable. These cables that used to support and undergird the communication lines for fiber and all sorts of goodness in the sea. It's meant that it's cables for skrik for niks, man. It's cables that can hold planets down. And that's what he showed me. It's interwoven together like this. This is where we come, where we're binding together. And I think, ask him, great, Lord, that's great. And like, okay, now, Lord, and here's the revelation. You know how that binding happens? When that single piece of cotton, where it starts off to end up at that final product as a strong piece of rope. You know how that happens in our context as Christians. How does it happen? Anybody speak to me? Come. How does it happen? Yes, through us doing what? Who? What? Say that again, sister. Say it again, sister. No, you're not loud enough. No, come. You're not just visiting this church. How does that happen? Through what?
Fellowship.
Through what?
Fellowship.
Through what?
Fellowship.
Fellowship. Janine, we love you. Through fellowship. Psalm is saying. Making the effort to get together in fellowship, not just on Sundays. Can you see where we're going? This is heavy on my heart because I see it happening. One sermon ago, I said, there's a satanic plot afoot to keep you out of fellowship. Word wakker. Word wakker, man. That's how we get strong. Binds us together by regular fellowship with each other. And as the return of Jesus gets closer and the rapture or whatever it is, this we see the devil ripping Christians apart and they're just like, oh, okay, I can myself afsonder. Ik gaan my net hier afpark want ek sien lus vir niemand en niks. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. We stay together by fellowship. Do not stray away from fellowship, church. You're deliberately ripping that rope apart if you do. You're deliberately doing it. God have mercy on your soul. As I bring this thing to a close and land this and bring the bike into the pits, Mr. Pit Boss, Jules Rees. Here we go. He's having experience as a pit boss now. Okay. This song is called No Distance. Gaan ons dit kan speel met die lyrics, julle? Het ons dit reg gekry? Ek het dit gestuur na die BCWAL Soundex toe. Het iemand dit gekry of nie? Maar met die lyrics. Jy dink ook, ja. So right, okay. If the lyrics don't come up, I'm just going to read it to you, alright? It goes like this, this one part. And this, when I listened to it, it just stirred my soul and reminded me of how much God does for us to make sure that we stay together. Surely we should be saying and doing the same thing with each other. It says, there's no distance existing in your eyes. You come in close like the sky to the sunrise, crashing through darkness to bring me to your light. Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Whenever I hide, you always go seeking. Ready or not, yeah, you come to meet me. Wie van ons het wegkruipertjie gespeel? We play hide and seek. Yeah, don't be shy. It's cool, isn't it? Huh? For many years, Osama bin Laden was the international hide-and-seek champion. He hid away for 10 years and then they got him. Bam! Yeah! Okay, stay focused, Mozzie. Stay focused. Whenever I hide, you come to seek me. Yeah, you come to meet me. You fight for my heart. You fight for my heart and you give me the victory, Emmanuel. That's God. God fighting for our heart. Fighting for us to have intimacy with us. When we're running away and playing church games and we're doing our own thing and we're hiding away from you, God fights for you. God comes for you. God sends for you through people, through His Spirit. God comes for you. He fights for your heart. Shouldn't we be doing the same with and for each other? Spill on. Yeah. Hope is the song that you playing inside of our hearts. Come, Jesus. You spoke, and space was erased. You are close like the sky to the stars. Known, I am known, and I'm loved by a God who would bleed out for me. Oh, I'm home in the arms of the one who has come set me free. There's no distance existing in your eyes. You come in close like the sky to the sunrise, crashing through darkness to bring me to your light. Emmanuel. Whenever I hide, you will always go seeking. Ready or not, here you come in to meet me. You fight for my heart and you give me the victory. Emmanuel. I Lord Jesus, thank you that you reached out to us. Lord God, you sent Jesus to die in our place just so that we could not be left out of your plan for our lives. You chose to give up your home in heaven to come and live amongst us so that we could one day be welcomed home with you. Thank you for laying down your life, and thank you that you've risen again from the dead, Jesus, and your blood has been shed to cleanse us of all our issues. My brother, my sisters, you sit there and you pray and you long for that fellowship and that love that's part of the body of Christ, but maar is vir jou 'n vreemde ding. Maybe you haven't felt that love and care before. Maybe you feel that God doesn't love you like that. He won't come look for you. If you get lost, so to speak, hy sal nie belong stel nie. I want to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell. God fights for your heart. God longs for intimacy with you. If you're at a place in your life this morning and you want to experience that love of God in a real way, and it's been tough up to now, if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer in your heart, right there where we sit. I know it's hot, or it's amper klaar. And just you pray in your own words as, along these lines as you say, God, I realize today that you've not forgotten me. I'm not a casualty of war, Lord. I'm not somebody that you've turned your back on. I'm valuable and precious to you. I know, Lord God, that even though I've turned my back on you and given up on you, you haven't turned your back on me. You haven't given up on me. In fact, you let your back be whipped so that I could be restored to fellowship with you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you come into my life and you come into my heart and you teach me again what it means to be loved by the living God. That you teach me again what it's like to be part of your body, what it's like to be part of your church, Lord Jesus. And Father, I'm sorry for distancing myself, Lord. I'm sorry for letting myself be torn away by the devil. And I'm sorry for walking away by my own decisions, Lord God, and keeping myself apart from what you've got planned for me. And I ask, Lord, that you give me wisdom and you guide me by your Spirit to restore me to a place of intimate fellowship with you, first and foremost, Lord, to have intimacy with you. And then, Lord, show me the role that I play in your body. Show me where I need to belong and stay committed and make a positive contribution to the kingdom, a faithful, committed contribution to the kingdom. Lord, today in my heart as I pray, I commit to using the gifts and the talents and the abilities and the resources you've given me to be a blessing to you first and foremost, and then to be a blessing to others. And folks, if you've prayed that, I just pray that God by His Spirit keeps you strong in your walk, that you can discern the strategy of the enemy as he wants to keep you away from God's best for your life. To the praise and glory of His name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. For those of you that did not receive the vision cards last week, we'd like to give you one on your way out. If you filled in one last week, some of you handed them in empty. That's fine. Maybe you've got no thoughts on what you'd like to see in your new place of worship. But if you do, this vision card is about our new building project.